The Lord Jesus Christ will speak to you this evening in Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. Proverbs chapter 28, verse 9. And we continue our study of prayer. We're on the last section of the Westminster Larger Catechism. We're learning about a lot of principles related to what prayer is and how it's to be made properly before we close with a long study in the Catechism of the Lord's Prayer, which we're coming up to soon. So tonight, we'll be guided by Westminster Larger Catechism question and answer 184, talking about what can we pray for. So Proverbs 28, verse 9, and Westminster Larger Catechism question and answer 184, as we continue to study how the Lord would have us talk to Him, that He would answer us, hear and answer us. Proverbs 28, verse 9, this is the living, breathing, powerful, active Word of God. May it pierce your heart, discern the thoughts and intents of your heart, and bless your heart. Proverbs 28, verse 9, he that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be an abomination. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. Last week we studied, for whom may we pray? And there's a little bit of overlap with that, with that idea, for whom we may pray tonight. For whom we may pray. And we learned that we may only pray for the living. This week, overlapping but thinking more about content, our subject matter anyways, we study for what may we pray. Last week, for whom may we pray? Tonight, for what may we pray? And so we turn to the Larger Catechism question and answer 184 to guide us through the main topics of Scripture. And this is the next part of prayer that we study. Question 184 asks this question: for what things are we to pray? We are to pray for all things tending to the glory of God, the welfare of the Church, our own or others' good, but not for anything that is unlawful. As that's a short answer, let me read it one more time for us. For what things are we to pray? We are to pray for all things tending to the glory of God, the welfare of the Church, our own or others' good, but not for anything that is unlawful. What does unlawful mean? It's not talking about the law of the land. We have a lot of laws in our land that are wicked. And they're wicked because they go against the Word of God. Lawful means biblical, according to God's law. And in our verse tonight, the word law there is Torah, which means instructions or directions. You probably heard the word Torah. So that's what the word there is in the Hebrew. And it means according to what God says is right or wrong. We may only pray according to God's Word. And Proverbs 28, verse 9 teaches that God turns a deaf ear to the prayer life of those who won't listen to the law of the Lord for their listening. You see, it's not just asking for things that are wrong, but it's asking for things when you're living wrongly. This does not mean that we have to live a perfect life to be heard. That's not the point. The point of it is, if we live a defiant life, deliberately, habitually against the law of the Lord, He will not hear us. God turns a deaf ear to the prayer life of those who won't listen to the law of the Lord for their living. You must ask for things that agree with God's revealed will, that is, the Bible. You pray as He teaches in the Lord's Prayer, "Thy will be done." That has to govern every word of our prayers. God's will be done. And you have to ask God to bless you with a lifestyle that is lawful. Pray for the living. And as you live, pray for things lawful. That's the message for you this evening. Pray for things lawful. That means according to God's revealed will, the Bible. Pray for things lawful. You are to pray, "Thy will be done in all things," to glorify the God of all things. God is the creator and the ruler of the universe. He gets to say how things work physically, metaphysically, and morally. And he has the right to say how it has to happen. You are to pray, thy will be done in all things to glorify the God of all things. This is all about God. Life is all about God. Your redeemed life is all about God. And so you want to pray according to his will, that his will would be done. We just saw in Philippians in our scripture reading, my whole life I count as loss compared to Christ. My whole life I count as dung in comparison with Christ. It's not about me. It's not about you. It's about the Lord Jesus Christ. The Catechism reads, we are to pray for all things, but then it gives a comprehensive idea of what we're to pray for, but then it qualifies it. We are to pray for all things tending to the glory of God, the welfare of the church, our own good, and others' good. Let's break that down. But again, we're to pray for all things. Everything should be on our mind. We should be praying, recognizing God uses our prayers in everything. We shouldn't leave anything that we think of, that we're concerned about, without lifting it up to the Lord and asking for him to do something about it. Either bless it or change it or help us. But it's all got to be under the umbrella of God's glory. This is where we begin. This is where we end, as the Lord's Prayer does. This is what has to direct and guide everything we think to talk about. We all want it to be for the glory of God. Our prayers need to be in all things to the glory of God. Remember, that's where we began, the larger catechism. Whether we eat, of course, 1 Corinthians 10:31 is the proof verse. Whether we eat or drink or whatsoever we do, do all to the glory of God. Well, that would include our prayers if it includes eating and drinking, would it not? Larger Catechism, question and answer one. What is man's chief and final end? Man's chief and final end is to glorify God and fully to enjoy him forever. The destiny is to enjoy him, but it comes only by and through the glorifying, which is our duty. Glorify him and then fully enjoy him. See, that's what our prayers need to be as well. Then our duty is to pray according to his will. Christ teaches in the Lord's Prayer that we'll soon begin to study, Matthew 6, verses 9 and 10. After this manner, therefore, pray ye, our Father which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. You pray, hallowed be thy name. You pray, thy will be done. And as it closes in verse 13, for thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. You see, the Lord's Prayer opens and closes with the Lord. It has us focusing on the Lord to hallow his name, asking that his will would be done, beginning in our own lives, and then closing with giving glory to his name. That's the way the prayer needs to start and close and be filled with, because that's the way your life needs to be. But we pray also for the welfare of the church, and that would certainly be on the heart of God. That would certainly be for his glory. We pray in all things for the welfare of the church. Psalm 51, verse 18 is first given to us by the Catechism. Do good in thy good pleasure unto Zion. Build thou the walls of Jerusalem. Zion and Jerusalem, of course, being interchangeable with the church. Psalm 122, verse 6. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. They shall prosper that love thee. Pray for the peace of Jerusalem. Much of our prayer should be focused on God's church if we're concerned with God's glory. God's kingdom of heaven in this world is his church. And the more that the Lord would help his church to grow and advance and be glorified and be salt and light to the world, the more God will be glorified. Our own good. You are to pray for your own good. Sometimes maybe we think we cannot pray for ourselves, but if you don't pray for yourselves, how do you think you're going to be blessed? Everything comes from God. Every gift is from the hands of the Father of lights. You have to pray for yourself. You have to ask God's blessing. You can't act as if you're going to be able to provide for yourself. Oh, you may have a job, and you could lose your job like that. Some of us, I've had the experience with at the end of the year, the boss comes in and tells us we're going to have a pay cut because that's just the way it's going. We can never count on ourselves. We can never count on our circumstances, but we can count on God to give us our daily bread, and so we're taught to pray for that. Pray for your own good. Matthew 7, verse 11. Jesus says, if ye then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your Father which is in heaven give good things to them that ask him. Now, James warns us elsewhere, you don't ask, or you don't get it because you don't ask the right thing. We'll go back to that verse in a moment. But you otherwise are to ask for God to give you what you need. In fact, the Lord's Prayer, as we break it down, we'll see, is a whole bunch of petitions. They're all asking God to do something. And most of the petitions are personal in the context of God's glory, but they're personal requests to get through each day. And this the Lord teaches us to pray. Ask God to give you things. Ask God to help you and to provide for your needs. Petition Him personally. But keep in mind that good gifts, gifts that are good, are what God says is good, not what you think is good. Too often we think we need certain things that we learn later. We're so thankful the Lord did not answer that prayer. Perhaps He heard us. We only thought we knew, but the reality was that would have been horrible for us. And we later say, thank you, Lord, for not answering that prayer, or rather, thank you for saying no. And what He does give us, we have to recognize is good. We have to believe Romans 8:28. We know that all things work together for good to them that love God, to them that are the called according to His purpose. We need to take what He gives us and recognize that it's good for us. We need to ask Him to give us what He values. And then we need to unwrap, as we ask for those things, when we get them, we need to unwrap them as gifts that God sees as very valuable for our good, if we can take it that way. So ask for God to do good to you, but recognize His definition of good and yours is often quite different. The Larger Catechism says you may also and should also pray for the good of others. Lord, open the King of England's eyes, for instance. You remember who prayed that prayer? William Tyndale, as he was burning on the stake for simply translating the Bible into your English tongue. And then, actually, they strangled him to death, and then they burned him. But that's why. Because he dared to translate the Word of God into your language. And he prayed that God would change the heart of King Henry VIII. And he did. It wasn't long after that he began to use Tyndale's translation. He began to use the English Bible in England. God answered that prayer. So notice what I'm pointing out is you pray for the good of others, but again, you pray according to what God calls as good. Psalm 125, verse 4, do good, O Lord, unto those that be good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. Notice, he asks God to do good unto those who are good. He asks God to do good to those who are upright. He does not ask good on those who do evil. I pray for those who are regularly doing evil. I pray that God will thwart their plans, not answer their prayers for blessing in them, bring them to the point of their knees that they actually cry out for Christ to be saved and then be blessed. You're not to pray for their good other than to pray what is only good for them, that God would save them from themselves. You're not to ask that the evil would prosper in their wickedness. If somebody asks for your prayers and you know that they are defiantly living against the Lord's word, you need to say, well, I'll pray the Lord will bless you with Himself. I'll pray the Lord will bless you with Christ. You may or may not qualify with, I'm not going to ask the Lord to bless your wicked life that goes against Him. That's a prayer He won't answer, of course. That's a prayer also that will offend Him. You are never to pray for anything that is against God's revealed will, nor live against Him, nor those who are living against Him. You're never to pray for anything against God's revealed will, nor live against Him. The Catechism reads, all those things you are to pray for, but not for anything that is unlawful. And when it says unlawful, it means unbiblical. Again, you can't pray that God would bless you and give you things that are against His word. So for instance, you can't say, Lord God, please take me out of this marriage that I've covenanted with because I want to marry that woman. Lord, I'm committing adultery with this woman and I'm facing all kinds of consequences. Would you please work it out for me so that I can be with this woman instead? You can't pray for things like that. You can't pray for things that go against God's word. Lord, I've lied again and again and again, but would you please bless me anyways and give me favor with the people I've lied with? You can't ask for that. It seems obvious, but we do that. J.G. Voss says, "We cannot pray aright unless we also study the Bible aright." 1 John 5, verse 14. "And this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He heareth us." He listens. He answers. But notice the qualification: according to His will. We ask God a lot for things, and we have no interest in His will. And we often ask as we're living against His will, or we even ask for things that are against His will, and we kind of know and we ask anyways. Or we ask because we don't study His Bible enough, and we don't recognize that's not something we should be asking for. We should ask what is according to His will. His will is given to us in the Bible. And here's particularly what we need to have qualifying as we think of His glory and we think of asking for things that are lawful, thus He would answer. What is His will for your life? First of all, sanctification. God's will for your life is your sanctification, growing in holiness. 1 Thessalonians 4, verse 3. So if you ask God to help you in things of an unsanctified nature, He can't hear it. He won't answer it. In fact, He's angry with that request. The other thing we know is God's will for your life is your constant thankfulness. You're constantly being thankful to Him. 1 Thessalonians 5, verse 18. But if you're constantly complaining against God and never thanking Him for all He's given you, He isn't going to hear that. Ask for things in relation to His will, and He does hear, and He does answer. Ask for things for His glory, for your sanctification, bathed in constant thanksgiving, and He hears and answers that. And we saw that in our psalm that we sang tonight, 66. Praise the Lord, He graciously hears and answers my prayer. He doesn't turn away. But that has obviously in view that it's because I'm asking according to His will through the blood of Christ. But the opposite is true. If you ask for what is not according to His will, or you ask for things as you live against His will, He will not listen to you. Not only will He not answer, He will not listen. He'll say, "Go away, I don't want to hear that. Get away from me." Psalm 109, verse 7. "When he shall be judged, let him be condemned, and let his prayer become sin." Now, remember, that was a verse a few weeks ago, Psalm 109, verse 5. He says, "You know, I do good to them, they return it for evil. I help them, they hurt me." And then he says, "But I give myself to prayer." Or literally, "I prayer." So the context, though, when he says, "I give myself to prayer," and that's how the Lord will protect me, even from myself, in dealing with these wicked people who are supposed to be my friends. But then he says, in the greater context, he's dealing with how wicked these people are, and he's asking God to do something about it. And in verse 7, he says, "Turn their prayers into sin. They're living against you, Lord. They're hurting your anointed. Turn their prayers to sin. Don't hear them, Lord. Don't prosper them in their wickedness." Proverbs 21, verses 13 and 17. "Whoso stoppeth his ears at the cry of the poor, he also shall cry himself, but shall not be heard. The sacrifice of the wicked is abomination. How much more when he bringeth it with a wicked mind? If the sacrifice and the praise of the wicked is an abomination, certainly so also are their prayers an abomination." Unbelievably, incredibly offensive unto the Lord. If you live a life where you will not hear the needs of others and then you ask God to meet your needs, that's an abomination to Him. If you bring your praises to Him with a wicked mind as you do it, that's an abomination to Him. Hypocrisy. He's not going to reward that. He's not going to give that. He's a good manager. He's a good father. He's a good leader. He will not reward insubordination. He will not reward wicked defiance of the rules of the house and the land. He's not going to countenance that. In fact, it disgusts Him. But how much we presume upon Him. Proverb 28, verse 9, our text for this evening. He that turneth away his ear from hearing the law, even his prayer shall be abomination. What he's saying is, the one that takes away his ear from hearing of God's law, that is the Torah, that is the instruction and direction for life, a person who will not listen to God's law for their life will not be listened to in their prayer life by the Lord who wrote the law. It's an abomination, it says there again. Just as the praises of the wicked are an abomination, so are prayers to God from a person who lives in defiant wickedness an abomination. You can understand why someone like that, we may not really desire their prayers to be offered up for us in our time of need. One who prays for God's helping hand but ignores God's speaking command is one who will be ignored by God. You may not treat God like a vending machine. He's personal. He's a person. He doesn't like to be robbed. If you won't have the giver, you will not have his gifts in accordance with your requests. We know that God is the giver of all things, even to the wicked. He lets it rain on the wicked, but not for the same reasons. And we know that the wicked often prosper, and often the Psalms are crying out, "Why is this so? While I suffer trying to be righteous for you." But perhaps we should consider that Satan promised Jesus kingdoms and power and riches and influence if he would but bow down to him. And I think it's safe to say people who think their prayers are being answered by God, first of all, we know that sometimes when God gives you over to yourself, that's the worst answer God could ever give. Romans chapters 1 and 2. But also maybe we need to recognize that he's letting Satan have his way with us. We bow to Satan. He gives us the riches and the unlawful, sinful things of this world, and we want to say that it's from God, but it's not. For instance, I think I shared with you recently in R.C. Sproul's commentary on the Westminster Confession of Faith, he talks about a guy who was really well known for being extremely successful with his business, and he's being interviewed on a TV show for 10 years of great success, and here's what he credits it to. He credits it to God. He says, "From day one, I promised that I would tithe of all that I make unto the Lord, and he has blessed me." Well, I guarantee you the blessing was not from God, but it was from Satan. You know why? Because the business was a brothel. A whorehouse. And he tithed from his whorehouse, and he thought because he was doing so well, it was of the Lord. No, it wasn't. But he liked to think that it was. He liked to think that his prayers were heard by God. They were an abomination. J.G. Voss says, for instance, you cannot pray for God to help you rob a bank. And if you were successful in robbing a bank, God did not answer that prayer. One of our own works for a business where they listen to the conversations of drug dealers crossing the border, and it has been shared. It's striking what you'll hear them say to one another. When they're talking about a drug deal, they hope to go down well. "I'll pray for you. I'll pray for you that God blesses that to happen for you." Are you kidding me? But this is the way we act with God all the time. Let's not excuse ourselves from doing the very same thing in various ways. "I'll pray for the Lord to bless your life even though you're absolutely living against him. I'll pray for the Lord to prosper you in your wickedness and defiance of him." You are not to pray for things that are unbiblical. So too, you may not ask God to bless you with things otherwise good, or bless others with things that are otherwise good, when lifestyles oppose the Bible. James 4, verse 3. "Ye ask and receive not, because ye ask amiss, that ye may consume it upon your lusts." And is that not basically the prayer of the pagan? "Please give me money so I can spend it on what I like to do with my life." And it goes exactly against what you want for my life, morally. You don't get what you ask for, because you ask wrongly that you could spend it on your own lusts, God says. He is not going to answer that prayer. If you got it, it wasn't from Jesus, it was from Lucifer. When you are an abomination to God by your lifestyle, so are your prayers an abomination. "When ye spread forth your hands, I will hide my eyes from you. Yea, when ye make many prayers, I will not hear. Your hands are full of blood." Isaiah 1, verse 15. He's talking to the church that's being punished and will be punished because they want God's blessing and they're presuming upon Him as a covenant people, but they're living in opposition to His law. And he says, therefore, your hands are full of blood. And in Isaiah, one of the concerns is you're not taking care of people in need because all you can care about is taking care of yourself. And I won't hear what you ask for. I won't see it. I won't listen to it. Because your hands are full of blood. The hands that you lift up in request are full of blood. How would you respond if somebody came to you having just killed someone or hurt someone, tortured someone with their blood on your hands? You'd shirk back from it yourself. You'd run away from it. Get away from me. It's abomination, so to the Lord. And as you sang this evening, Psalm 66, verses 18 to 20, if I regard iniquity in my heart, the Lord will not hear me. Even if I'm in Christ, if I regard iniquity in my heart, if I'm holding on to sin, maybe I'm lying to myself and I'm telling me it's not sin, or I won't look at it, secret sins, things that we looked at in Leviticus today. If I'm just regarding things in my heart, I won't let go of things I want to do, I want to be. I say I seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness, but really I want everything else first. And I want God to get in line with me. He's not going to hear that prayer. I ask God to bless me, even with good things. But if I'm living a life that is evil, according to His law and His word, He will not hear me. He's not going to invest in a wicked lifestyle, just as no wise manager is going to invest his resources in someone who will waste them on the world and on wickedness and on things that are truly anti-Christ. There's no way a good father, a good manager, a good boss, a good mother, a good teacher will invest in such people. It's bad management. It'll produce more of the same. God is the Father. God is the manager. And He entrusts His things to those who are faithful with little, according to His law. He'll answer their prayers. Now, Psalm 66 goes on to say, but if I am asking right with God, right through Christ's blood, right through Him the sin offering, right through me crucifying myself and asking God to bless me, to bless His name in my life. The psalm goes on to say, in that case, but verily God hath heard me. He hath attended to the voice of my prayer. Blessed be God, which hath not turned away my prayer, nor His mercy from me. Now this again is not a prayer that thinks God has answered because of my righteousness. No, far from that, because of Christ's righteousness, but also my showing that I love Him by wanting to keep His commands, His Torah, more and more. Watch out for the placebo effect. I'm convinced there's a placebo effect. Everybody likes to talk about being spiritual, and hardly anybody cares about Jesus or goes to church. And we love to say, I'll pray for you. You pray for me. We talk about our prayers. Oh yeah, please pray for me. People are so happy to take your prayers who don't want Christ and don't want His church and don't want God, but they want your prayers. And I think it's a placebo effect, you know? You take a pill and you think you're doing better because you took a pill. They talk about that placebo effect. You take something, you think it's helping, it's not doing anything for you. There's actually one study years ago, and by the way, this is not to say knee replacements never work, but there was a certain kind of knee replacement that the Navy was rethinking whether they wanted to pay for it, because they weren't convinced it was actually working. I think only the government could get away with this, but they talked to the doctors and they said, here's what I want to do. Here's what we want to do. Only give the knee surgery to some of the people, not all, but let them all think that you did. Let them all think that you gave them a knee replacement or some kind of knee surgery that they weren't sure was actually effective. And they saw the placebo effect. Some people who thought they had the surgery came back and said to the doc, man, I can't believe it. I feel like a new man. I'm playing with my grandkids now. I feel so good. And he didn't have a knee replacement or knee surgery. It was a placebo effect. He just thought he did. So he felt happy and he felt better. Now that's another sermon, that's another encouragement to be right with the Lord and feel better with Him, and your life will change, in body and mind you'll feel better. But think about that with prayer. Just because you are praying does not mean God is listening. Just because you're praying doesn't mean it's taking any effect. Just because you feel good that you prayed or asked for prayers or lifted up prayers doesn't mean it's doing anything. If it's asking for things that are unbiblical or for those or yourself when you're living a lifestyle that is against the Bible. If you pray for anything that is against God's Torah while you are not listening to it and not living it, it is as if you are strumming a guitar with your fingers over the front of it, over a hole, but has no strings. It makes no sound. It's empty. And God hears nothing. Because either the prayer or the prayer or both is empty of God's will and His ways. Or maybe there are strings on the guitar, but they're all out of tune because they are not tuned according to the Torah. So when you strum that guitar, it's a hideous abomination, and he plugs his ears because it sounds so awful. To be heard by the Lord, to be answered by the Lord, you must first be truly listening to Him. And He speaks in His Word. And when you are listening to Him and praying according to His will, then you may expect Him to hear and answer. So, beloved, pray for things lawful. O Lord God, have mercy on us, for how often do we presume upon Your grace and treat You like a vending machine? We want Your gifts without You, the giver. We want You to give us things while we live against You. We shake at the machine, we rattle it, and try to force out the food, rather than just submit to You and have You let it flow freely. Oh Lord, help us not to have a placebo effect in our prayer and think that because we pray that something's going to happen from it. Help us not to pray for the wicked, other than to pray that You would bring them to a point of repentance. And that's going to have to often be by losing things, suffering. We do not pray that You would make the wicked content in their lifestyle, blessed in their lifestyle, having no desire to be saved from it. But we do pray for the wicked. We pray You'd help them to see the rain and the sunshine is from You, and it will one day be taken away from those who will not receive Him and live for Him and pray to Him rightly. O Lord, may our prayers not be like a guitar without strings or strings that are horribly out of tune. May we have our strings tuned correctly to Your Torah, Your law. May our lives live according to Your directions and instructions. Thus, that not only are we right with You through Your blood, but also we are right with You for Your law, that is the rule of life and love. If we don't obey Your commands, if we live defiantly against them, we show we don't love You. Why would we expect You to bless us with that? But if we live according to Your ways, to the glory of Your holy name, not perfectly, but more and more sanctified because of Your grace and mercy, and with more thanksgiving, recognize the only thing You owe us is the wages of our sin, eternal fire and brimstone in hell. We should be thankful. We should be unceasingly thankful. Make us so, O Lord. We pray Thy will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Oh, may that be in each of our lives. May we be sanctified. May we be thankful. May we live and pray according to Your word. May we live all things lawful. May we pray for things lawful. We pray in the name of Jesus Christ, our King. Amen.